I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorances Blast podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots, if you concocted some sort of imaginary drama between me and one of the other top 10 interviewees in the top 40 countdown, because I said I loved 8 people in this countdown, I want you to go to the Facebook group right now and you tell me who and what story you made up, because you are a fool. I said 8 because there were 2 people in here twice because you love them as much as I do. And this person is no exception. I am so happy that she's the number one most downloaded episode. And honestly, doesn't surprise me. She's a bad bitch and she's cool as hell. And she now has a podcast all about cults because she grew up in one and that's what we talked about. So, you know, she didn't at the time. Maybe you guys listening encouraged her to talk more, to talk to other people. Who knows? All I know is this is the number one episode. The Friends Go Marching 2x2 with Megan Granger. She's so fucking awesome. This is such an interesting episode. It's wild. And if you find it fascinating, definitely go check out her podcast because she deep dives into other cults and talks to other people who survive living in them. Yeah, I don't have anything else to say. We fucking did it. I can't tell you how happy I am to be done recording these fucking intros. But that's neither here nor there. I love Megan. I already know you love Megan. But for those of you who are new listeners who got in on the countdown and have just been like, cool, I can skip trying to find good episodes. She's giving them to me. This one is quite literally the cherry on top of them all. Please enjoy The Friends Go Marching 2x2, the number one episode of all time on Ignorance is Blessed with Megan Granger. Yay, you guys, hello. I'm here with my lovely friend, Megan Granger. What do I say about you? Like, hilarious writer, extraordinaire, host of the amazing podcast, Superficial Magic.
I don't know, but I almost just said whoop, whoop, raise the roof.
So, I mean, it's just a whoop, whoop, raise the roof kind of morning, you know? I feel like you guys were in her apartment, which is just on like a beautiful corner and there's so much going on outside. It's so lively. And her apartment literally looks like something out of like an interior design ad or like one of those Instagrams.
Thank you so much. It's just a beautiful apartment that I got lucky to get. And then my friend Kenna is moving. So she gave me all of her stuff.
Oh my God,
and
the best.
She has like really good taste. So now I've just incorporated it into my life and I'm like, yeah, it's mine.
Yes. The universe sent me better things. That's anything I own that someone's ever complimented that they're like, this is so fashionable. It definitely came from someone else.
Oh, always.
I was like, I will steal that. I think I have a desk from you and people are like, what a fun vintage desk. And I was like, yeah. Well, my friend was moving and I stole it.
I remember giving you that desk. We had to like carry it out. You had a whole truck for it.
I know. I got a truck because I was like, I'm not letting that desk go.
It's a beautiful desk.
I don't even remember who was with me. Probably
I do.
Ex-boyfriend.
It was an ex-boyfriend.
Oh, he never cared about me. I'm kidding, but he did complain the whole time because he was weak. Like fucking.
You guys were both very small.
I know.
I do just remember 2 tiny people.
We were cute,
tall desk. Yeah,
but I was cuter, so it's over. that's probably not true. Yes, it is. I'll stop. Okay, wait. So
wait, cults.
Cults. Yes. I mean, I want to just dive in. There's just so much about you, and I feel like I wish my listeners knew you. We'll podcast again. It doesn't matter. They probably do. Half my listeners are crossovers from other podcasts.
Oh, amazing.
So they've heard you everywhere.
You guys have heard me everywhere.
She's literally everywhere. I cannot escape her. But we're talking about this. Okay. We're talking about a cult, you guys. Right? Is it a cult? Can I call it a cult?
I mean, I do, but I feel like if you call it a cult, people automatically think weird sex stuff.
Oh, yeah, but it
you
wasn't.
I mean?
It was just
no.
like... Weird religious stuff.
Yeah, it was just intense.
The Friends.
Yes.
Was that a thing? I wikied it.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Let's get into it. Okay, so 2x2s is kind of what it's called.
Yes.
But there's not really a name.
Exactly.
Church with no name.
It's called the Church with no name. Like, if anybody asks what's the name, you say there is no name because...
We're just the way. There's
the
truth.
Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So,
Yeah, you're like, we don't need a church name.
Right. So it's the way. There's no church buildings.
Oh, yeah.
Church buildings are like very sinful.
Frowned upon. Mm-hmm. Oh, because I mean, I guess they buy into that one like Bible verse of it's not the temple. It's the home or whatever.
Yes. So all the church gatherings are in homes.
Really?
Yes.
So, but it is like a Christian sect?
Yes.
Okay. So was there a specific home you went to? Was it Sundays? And then
Usually, actually, we would have it. It was on Sundays.
Oh, your house was the house.
Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, like Saturday night, it would just be like cleaning. And in other cities, there was like a really young, attractive, you know, like
hot minister or something.
Like kids. Like, you'd go to other cities and there'd be like a big group of kids who are in this religion. And
oh, so you guys would like travel?
Oh, yeah. But in my city in Kansas, there was... It was just really old people.
Oh, so you were like the only kid?
I was the only kid. I didn't have any brothers and sisters yet. My sister's 10 years younger than me. So
oh my gosh.
It was just me and like the oldest people you've ever seen. And
like the founders of the religion.
Yeah. And so it would be a Saturday night and I'd be like, I want to go spend the night at my friend's house. My parents would be like, it's meeting tomorrow. We have to clean. And it was just like so boring.
Every Saturday night you just had to clean in preparation for old people.
Yes. And it was Wednesday night too. And it was like... we never missed it.
Really? Were the Wednesday nights in your place too?
Sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but it's like we've gone to other countries before and they're like, okay, we're going to meeting. That's what it's called.
It's just called meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Not a meeting, the meeting. It's
we're
just
going
meeting.
To meeting.
We're meeting.
Yeah, we're meeting. We're going to meeting. And you just go to people's houses in other countries. They don't even speak English, but you're like immediately accepted as part of this family.
Is this like a huge...
I would say there's like 150,000 people on it. I would say that because I did look at the Wikipedia page just now.
Just now you're like, I don't know. It's been a while. And also, why would you know that if you didn't research it?
There's 150,000, 10 of which are living in Wichita, Kansas, and are very old.
And are is it like mostly your family? Is your family still in it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Both sides. That's how my parents met.
They met in a meeting?
Yeah.
They were friends of the light or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I made that one up. But.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So is it the same concept of like Jesus is the son of God and he performs miracles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, I wouldn't really say the miracles are as big of a deal as the sacrifice. You know,
he gave himself
yeah,
up for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so you guys have that. Do you have that like heavy, like the Catholics? I grew up Catholic.
Oh, for
the guilt.
Sure. So much guilt. So much weird, just like. I just remember being little. This is so heavy and sad, but just being like, I really wish I didn't exist because it's like
such a burden.
It's such a burden.
I feel so
like,
bad.
Yeah, my parents would just be like, you know, humans are like sinful and blah blah blah. And I'm like, then why did you have a kid? Because
why did you bring more people?
Yeah,
into this?
Like hi.
Did you ever say that to your parents when you were little? God.
I don't know. Probably.
I mean, there's so many things we just think and never say. And like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I probably did because I was a brat, but. Yeah, it was just a really heavy religion for me.
Yeah, it sounds heavy. I read that like the ministers or whoever the leaders, mm-hmm. they don't live anywhere. They just,
right.
they just, people take them in.
Yes. So the ministers like give their life to this. They don't have homes. They give up every worldly possession.
My gosh.
And they are put in like, they call it two by twos.
Or in pairs.
Yeah.
Is it always like two males or two females?
Two males
or
are
there
two females.
Okay.
And they change like partners every year and change cities.
Oh.
Every year. Mm-hmm.
So you just go new places.
Exactly. So you get new workers and you get new. Oh, God, my cat found string. This is really bad.
I don't know who string
she
this is.
She can't handle it. It's my string, I'm sure.
It's just like, it's just a string I own. My cat found string. Your house is covered in strings. I don't know how she keeps finding these.
I don't know whose string this is. It's my string.
It's my string. It's a religious string.
Yeah. So they go out two by two and they stay with you. And they are like thought to be a direct connection to God.
Oh, so they're like popes.
So when the workers were staying with you, it was a big deal.
Yeah. And you had to be on like your best behavior.
Exactly. And gosh, this is a lot to unpack because I've never really thought about it before. This is very weird. But from eighth grade on, one was always living with us.
Really? So yeah. You had like a foreign exchange student from God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was not. Was it the pair or was it just
no,
one?
No, like somebody would be like unfit for it for a while, and so they like one woman came in, two women came and lived with us for years, and then
oh, wow.
like somebody else would you know it, like for some reason we had a really big bougie house and there was
you're
just,
like fabulous but you, also religious
yeah and but exactly but like because my parents aren't like that anymore but back in the day
they really wanted
this,
to impress the religion
yeah we just had a really big house and the like downstairs was just stuffed full of workers.
Like no churches but your family basically lives in a giant church.
yeah so I the you know they were all really sweet and but it was just weird because there were literally ministers living in our house.
So did you always feel like
I'm sinning. They're going to catch me. Like, did you ever sneak out and stuff in high school?
Oh, my God, no.
No.
I tried a few times. I'd be caught every time. Like, my curfew was 10. There was no way around it.
So you were, like, pretty well-behaved and, like, strict rules all through?
I had really strict rules, but I wasn't well-behaved.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I mean, I was just...
A kid,
naughty in my way. I had sex in high school, so like, you did. Not to brag.
Was it with a 2x2er?
No.
2x2er. How big is his dick? 2x2?
It was a 92-year-old man.
Oh my God. You're like, anything, get me out of here. Save me.
Because that's how old everyone in the religion was. No, it was a boy named Mike from my high school. Shout out to Mike. I know you're listening to high this school Mike. You're so obsessed with me.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. Wait, so did you go to regular public school?
No. But I didn't go to religious school. I just went to private
school. Just a private school?
Yeah.
Were there other people in the religion there?
Oh, my God, no.
No. So you were like a loner.
I mean, I didn't want to be, but I had to go to school. I couldn't cut my hair. I couldn't wear jeans.
Did you have to always wear dresses?
Yeah. So I looked like an American Girl doll. And I went to this like really nice private school where everyone was so gorgeous and flashy.
And trendy.
And trendy. And I was like, hi, like... Here's my long jean skirt because my parents said
jean skirt.
Yes.
Maybe this is just Alaska, which Travel and Leisure named the least fashionable state in the country.
Wow.
It's an honor, truly. But there was a really brief period in like middle school where long denim skirts were a thing. Was that anywhere else?
Was there a moment where people were like,
she was ahead of the curve?
No, I do remember YM like really pushing that down our throats for a while.
I don't know why.
Like 17 magazine and stuff. Where it was like the long jean skirt with the like clog shoes and bodysuit or something.
And people were like, yeah, dress like a witch.
Yeah. No, it was not in style. No.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you were just always long hair. Did people ever ask you about it?
Yes. Or people were like, you look like an idiot.
You look like an idiot. Were people mean to you? Did you get bullied?
Yes.
Oh my God. It's just so funny. I mean, this happens. This is like the case of so many people you meet in Hollywood where like they're gorgeous and amazing. And you're like, surely you weren't also bullied. And they're like, I was tortured, terrorized by everyone I knew. Holy shit.
Yeah. I didn't help matters by like refusing to ever take showers. And
I get it. Showers are a whole thing. It's like a burden. Oh my God.
I didn't have time. I was really busy.
I was giving my life to God. Yeah. Were you okay? Let's see. So, at what point did you realize that your religion was like a little weird? Because that's the thing about religion is that you're just brainwashing kids.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of the religion and how popular it is, it's like when you grow up and you're going to church and like, Jesus this, Jesus that, or whatever your religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's just your truth. But when you really take a step back, you're like, oh, you're just like feeding this shit to your children and they just buy into it.
Right. Because they have no choice.
Yeah.
Oddly, I think I was like, not to be too abstract and weird, but I think I was here straight from a weird past life because.
Oh, like you were just like, it's like, nope, you're going back.
Yeah. Because like, I was so like,
something ended and it's like, you're not done.
Immediately just like a very weird person who like.
That's why we get along.
Always would talk about. Like the guillotine. I was like 2 or 3 or 4.
The guillotine?
I was like obsessed with it. Would always talk about like
oh, like you're like Marie Antoinette or something.
I think
shit.
I like, yeah.
So, you were in that time, the French Revolution?
Yes. So I was on my own journey having like really intense, weird dreams and whatever. And I just from the very beginning was like, I don't like this.
I don't subscribe to this.
Yes.
Thing.
I was like, I don't. Well.
So funny.
Yeah. But I. Was always like, but I should. And like, there's something wrong with
the
me.
Guilt. It's like, why don't I just want to like,
yeah, like, why don't
it's just about love.
Just accept the truth as the truth and like move on and make your family happy and go to heaven. Cause like, you're not going
to
go to heaven. No. And so I would just be stressed out. I would try to go to sleep at night and I would just like stay awake all night fretting about hell.
Oh, cause you're like, I don't believe in it. And God knows.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm definitely going to hell. So like it would just be, you know, a normal third grade day for kids and I'd be falling asleep at my desk because
you stayed awake fretting about going to hell
and the guillotine.
No wonder you have sleep problems now. Like, yeah, I need an Ambien because all I see is guillotines in hell every time I close my eyes.
I was a pleasant child.
Oh my God, your parents are like, what happened? They're like, the guillotine. How does she even know that word?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think I ever really believed it, which you know, which was really hard, because I wanted to.
You wanted to. You're like, I want to just... Well, I think of that way about so many things. Just even people who have... Okay, simple is probably an offensive word to be like, simple dreams.
Yes.
But people who just like, I just want my house.
I mean, that's what country music is. Like,
yeah, and I love country music. It's like, you have your beer on Friday night, you go to your job, you work hard, and you come home to your fucking kids, and like...
And have a key party.
And you have a key. See? It's simple. I sometimes am like, I wish I could subscribe to that. Like, I...
Absolutely.
How easy would life be if you were so satisfied with just like, yeah, no, that's just how it is. And then that was it for you. You had no further thoughts.
I mean, this lifetime is like really fun for them.
Yeah. They're just like, I have everything I could possibly want, mm-hmm. and I don't want anything else.
That's great.
And I'm going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
To just know you're in. You're like, they just sit around on Saturday nights cleaning and they're like, we're in.
They're like so in. They're so excited.
Do you think that they're like a little elitist? Like, we know we're going to heaven.
Yes.
These other people.
Oh, and I would, when I was little, I was obsessed with hell, obviously. So I would just tell everyone, I'd be like, you're not in my religion.
So
you cut your hair and you're wearing earrings, so you're going to go to hell. And they'd be like, all right, Megan, stop saying that.
Did you get in trouble in school
time.
For like telling people they're going to hell?
All the time. I would just be like, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. I didn't have any good news for them. I wasn't like, so you should do this.
It's like show and tell. And you're like, okay, I didn't bring anything, but I did want to tell you guys, you're all going to hell.
And I learned about sex because my dad's a gynecologist. So he had to like explain it to me early on.
Like very, was it meticulously? That's interesting. Your dad's a gynecologist.
Yeah.
I knew that. But for the listeners, like, it's interesting that he was in a science field.
Yes.
How did that?
I don't know.
Like, how does he work with the female anatomy, but also be like, cover it up and don't ever show anyone?
I don't know. It's so strange. It's like so layered. And my family and all the people in the religion are so nice and like progressive in weird ways.
Like in social ways,
one's like, you shouldn't be a gynecologist and looking at people's vaginas. Like, they're like, yes, the woman needs a doctor. Like,
yeah, you're a doctor. You're
exactly.
helping women.
Exactly.
And he's looking at women, but he makes them wear long skirts, so he has to like dive
right.
underneath the skirts.
Right. Yes. It's like
going into a tunnel. He's got one of those lights on his head.
Exactly. Just like, I guess there was nothing really like shameful about the body
or
sex
body.
Or
well,
anything
good.
Like that. It was just like, to be modest, cover it up for Jesus. Like,
cover it up.
Jesus,
save it for Jesus and your husband.
Yes, exactly. But then there was no like guilt about having sex with your husband or like using birth control or anything like that.
Oh, that's such a fascinating intersection of things.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
They're like progressive scientifically, but...
And my dad will be like... Because my dad does like IVF and genetics stuff.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
And he'll be like, yeah, being gay is genetic. Like... For sure.
100% there's a gene. And
yeah.
I know that without reading an article based on how many of my gay friends have gay brothers. And I'm like,
it's such a gene. And he's like, of course, we're like close to finding it and blah, 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 blah. But he's like, but so he knows that. But then he's like, but it's their hardship to bear in this life that they just can't experience.
That they have to experience. They have
that
to like keep it tucked in.
Love.
Like, it's like. It's okay that you're born gay, but like you have to keep it tucked in is
exactly.
sort of the, it's a, God, that's hard. What's also interesting to me, just, this is kind of off topic, but I've been obsessively reading about genetics my whole life. I'm trying to create the perfect human race. That's a lie. But well, ever since I found out I was created through artificial insemination, which was like 10 years ago, I'm like just obsessed with genetics and like how things get passed on and what. Well, I also got obsessed with it when I first learned about it in like third grade, you know, for like a week, I was like, I'm going to be a geneticist and then I'm going to be a astronaut. And now here I am. And I talk about my butthole for a living, but, oh, what's interesting to me thinking about the fact that there for sure has to be a gay gene. It's like all genetics. It's like you're predisposed to something, but it might not happen.
Exactly.
So I get medical stuff. Information. I did 23andMe, which is that thing where you spit
yes.
a vial and they tell you like your heritage and they're just like, you're as Jewish as you thought you were. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I am. I am so Jewish. I knew it. But they also will show you if you choose to, like medical things you could be predisposed to.
Oh, boy.
And they give you a whole thing that they're like, this doesn't mean anything. Talk to your doctor. But like people with such and such gene are predisposed to like Alzheimer's, for instance. I have that gene. Watch out.
Oh,
do
no.
I even know who you are? But
it's like we're going to be the Notebook soon, Jess.
Well, I mean... I got to find someone so I can have that. Someone write me letters every day. And DMs don't count, creeps. No, just thinking about if you found out, like, because when people tell you have like the BRCA gene where they're like, you're at risk for, high risk for breast cancer, but someone being like, you have the gay gene. And you have to go like, this like, wait, am I gay? And like, that just adds a whole layer to the am I gay thing, which I think everyone experiences at some point. That totally. Like, we have moments of like, I'm
for sure
could
gay,
be
right?
gay.
Right, yeah.
I have that all the time. Right. Like, I almost am like, I want to marry a woman and we just have separate sex lives with men or whoever we want to fuck.
Right.
It seems like it makes more sense. What religion is that? V by G.
Of the only good idea.
Oh my God. Okay. So was it like a dirty dancing? Like no fun, no birthdays? Like Jehovah's Witnesses?
Oh my gosh. Thank God. So much fun birthdays. Like ski trips. I can celebrate Halloween. My parents.
Oh,
like,
Halloween. Thank
everybody
God.
Everybody loves Harry Potter. Like it's not like the really. We're
it's
like,
not like
witchcraft.
The crazy like, Pentecostal.
No,
where
it's
like
not
everything's
like that.
A sin.
But. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
It's totally fine.
It's not like that, but we didn't celebrate Christmas or Easter or anything religious because they were like, that is a sin. Yeah.
Oh, so it's just like not like celebrating the death and birth of
right
Jesus. Because was Jesus your savior or was he just like part of the squad?
No. Jesus is the thing.
Okay.
Jesus is
the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
And that's literally what you guys are called.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So yeah, that would be awkward. There'd be no Christmas. And so because they were like, that's not when Jesus was actually born, and it's a commercialized like pagan holiday and we don't celebrate it.
Like pagans are witches. Mm-hmm.
Well, not, they're just like, yeah, you can't. And it's really weird.
I mean, in their defense, Christmas is really commercialized. Like
right.
I have a lot of Catholics in my family, and I mean, most of them are like loose, lazy Catholics, you know, like church on Christmas and Easter and like whatever, but
sinners.
Right. Well, my one uncle who, this is so interesting that I'm not saying he's like the smartest person in the family. I have a lot of like really smart people in my family, but he's a doctor and he's the one who's still the most religious. He's got a wife and they're just like this like blonde haired, blue eyed, perfect family with their two kids. But when the kids were younger on Christmas every year, like I'd go to family Christmases, or I went a few times. They would make a birthday cake for Jesus.
What?
And sing
what
happy birthday. Well, that's the thing is that I used to do a bit about it. I should bring this back because I was like, I could probably make it better than when I started. She was explaining to me. She's like, well, the cake is dark. It's like chocolate. She's like, you know, for our sins. And then you coat it in white, like white frosting, like the blanket of light that is Jesus's love. There's a whole thing that goes.
It's making me hungry.
It's round, like his love for us. It never ends. But then I was like, I took a bite of the cake and I was like, this is really good. This is a real story. I was like, this is really good. What flavor cake is this? And my aunt who made it looks over at me and like, she looks around and leaned over and she's like, Devil's food cake. It was on sale.
No.
I swear to God.
No.
I was like, you made a Jesus cake out of devil's food cake? And she's like,
no.
It was so cheap.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's still a circle.
But yeah, it's a circle of life. The devil is, you know, a part of life.
Did you, could your family drink? Because my family can't drink.
Oh yeah. No. So your family doesn't drink at all? My family is... just a train of alcoholics.
No drinking.
Like my family probably would steal the blood of Christ. Wait, so did you guys have what, grape juice at church? Was that?
Yes. So in the Sunday morning meeting, you would have bread and a glass of grape juice.
Ooh, like actual bread? Was it leaven? Like full
and no,
yummy bread?
It was just like a piece of Wonder Bread.
Oh. I'm like, did you have baguettes? And you're like, why would we have baguettes? I'm like, I don't know. You knew about the guillotine. Like that there's just like a French baker for some reason in fucking Wichita.
Oh my God. Exactly. We did no wine. My mom has had alcohol once in her life. My
dad did get wasted.
Yeah. My dad said like her and her identical twin sister, who are just the most ridiculous human beings.
Your mom's
on the planet.
An identical twin.
Yes. And they both married men named David Allen that are in the religion.
So wait, were they all, Jesus, were they all raised?
Yes.
Like from the beginning, like their parents were in the religion. Okay. That's what I was wondering.
So,
I wonder if that's like a popular religious name in that religion, David Allen.
No, it's so weird. It's so weird. But my dad said he bought them like a beer, like a case of beer. And they were so excited. They were like staying in a hotel. They were
and
going
like,
skiing
ooh, we're
something.
Getting wild.
Yeah, they were like, oh, we're drinking
sinning.
Beer. And then he said they just threw up.
Oh my God. Wow. So they've just never.
They've not. And they have no idea who anyone is. You could be like, Angelina Jolie, because no TV. No, like, and my mom's like,
oh, no TV.
And she's like, is she a singer? Like, no clue. I thought Home Alone was a scary movie.
How did you? Oh my gosh, really?
And I would like try to pretend that I was normal. You know, that people would be like, have you seen Home Alone? I'd be like, yes, I'm still like so scared.
And they're like, what? Why are you? You think your parents are going to leave you? Like, kids don't know. Wait, did you not watch TV or movies at all?
No, I had a little VCR with Annie, a few Shirley Temple things, and like The Happiest Millionaire, which you guys should really check out.
I'm going to now because I love Annie and Shirley Temple, and I will buy into that.
It's like a musical that's so weird, and I would just watch them over and over. I could start a Annie monologue and just tell you the whole
I know you can, because 2 weeks ago in New York,
oh my God,
when you were roofied at a bar, which we shouldn't laugh about, but she turned out fine.
Did I?
I mean, do any of us ever? We were in the street waiting for a cab, and I was holding you up, and you started singing all of Annie. And our other friend who's with us, Jessica J, is like mortified because we're screaming the street. And me, not even drunk, just a psycho who loves Annie, was like, yes! And I started singing along. I was like, I didn't think anyone else knew this song.
So were we singing loud?
Oh yeah. It was a weirdly empty part of the city for some reason.
I'm sure they saw me coming and everyone was like, leave.
Yeah, it was like Gramercy, but on a Wednesday. And
which one were we singing? Easy Street?
No, it wasn't even it wasn't Tomorrow.
Girl, I want to sing Easy Street.
Maybe
with you.
It was Maybe or Little Girls.
Ooh, Little Girls.
Because then you and I, this is more ridiculous for me because you were like,
roofied.
You were roofied and probably a little bit tipsy because you guys had been drinking. You and I were fighting over who was Miss Hannigan. And I think I was not even, I was sober. I was like, I'm Miss Hannigan. And then I was like, I'm fighting with a person who doesn't even know that they exist right now.
I can't believe it.
And I was like, you're not ugly enough to be Miss Hannigan. And you're like, I'm Miss Hannigan. And I'm like, you actually do sound like what probably real life Miss Hannigan was like. Just all fucked up. Fighting little girls. It was...
We did have one like super cool moment in the religion where, do you remember? You probably don't, because who on earth would? But like 12 years ago, Matthew Perry had a girlfriend. He was still on Friends, and he had like a serious girlfriend. Her name was Rachel. And I never even noticed.
Yeah,
that.
Because he's secretly in love with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, I think that was her name. Oh, God. But anyway, she was in the religion. And so her family was like from Michigan, where my mom's family is from. So everybody knows each other so well.
Oh, my God.
And so he came with her to one of our like church conventions.
So you saw him. He was there.
Yeah. And I remember people being like, I think he's an actor.
But like nobody watches TV, so they don't know he's on like the most famous show.
He was on Friends.
Like this... Wow. And people are like, I don't know, I think he's some sort of actor.
Yeah.
I wonder, that must have been weird for him, because at that time he must have been getting recognized everywhere he went.
I'm sure he probably strangely liked it.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, these people are just treating me like a person.
I mean, well, a person who's going to hell, but a person.
But they're still nice to you. They're like, maybe we can convert him. I wonder how much longer they lasted after that moment.
I'm sure he was like, well, I mean, she's not in the religion. Oh. A lot of young people aren't.
They got out?
Yeah, but I don't know why I feel like that's a totally normal choice for them, but I still feel really guilty about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably in the back of a lot of people's heads. They're like, I don't know if it's guilt anymore. I think I used to have the guilt, and now I've just like, it's transferred from guilt to like, I wish I was so dumb that I could just blindly believe in something.
Yeah.
I wish I could just not question sometimes.
Yeah. It's just like a dirty little feeling inside of you that's just like,
I'm a dirty little slut and I'm going to hell.
Like nagging at you. Ooh, ooh.
And then you can't sleep at night.
I miss that again.
When did you have to like come out to your parents about getting
out? My parents and I have the weirdest stuff. Like in my family, you just don't say stuff.
That's a big Midwest thing where like I'll talk about my family. Like I had a boyfriend who called his mom every day.
Wow.
Which he said, he claims, he was like the nicest guy I've ever dated. He was so sweet, opened all the doors, paid for everything, whatever. But he claims, he's like, it's for her. He's like, I don't need to talk to my mom every day. My dad said, she's noticeably happier when I call. So I call her, which is just very sweet.
Very sweet.
And the kind of guy you should probably stay with. But yeah, I was like, boring, snooze fest. But I talk about my family like fighting and shit, and which my family's, you know, not normal either. It's like a broken, fucked up house. But he'd be like, he was so jarred by it. But I've realized, like, I don't know what's worse. Like a family who just is super mean to each other and too honest, or a family who's like, let's just not address the fucking huge elephant in the room. Dad's fucking the neighbor. Like,
yeah, totally.
It's like, can you pass the potatoes?
Totally. I mean, we would yell at each other for sure. But like big issues, I don't know. Like they came and stayed with me a couple weeks ago. I love them so much. And I just wanted to have an honest conversation with them. And I like went to...
And you're like, so let's podcast about it.
Well, I was just like, I went to this astrologist that I love. I never thought I'd say that.
I want
to
get the info.
I love him so much. His name's Sean. You guys have to...
I love stuff like that.
He's just... I thought it was going to be so stupid, but he's so smart and whatever. So,
so it's like, even if you don't like buy into that, stuff like that just makes me feel good. It's like, this
yeah,
happy.
He was just like, your biggest problem is not saying what you actually need. And I was like, that's true.
You know what's so crazy? God. Like, I relate to you so much on that, by the way.
Yes.
Is when people go like, psychics are just people who are really intuitive. And it's like, well, fine. If someone can point out something that I'm not willing to point out to myself, and it's not like a special magic medium.
I don't
medium,
have to go to therapy for five years.
Yeah, it's
years.
Like, fine. I would pay for someone to go like, hey, idiot.
Yeah.
Fucking fix this.
Yes. Yes, completely. I'm sorry. My parents were here and I was like
I'm going to an astrologist.
I was going to talk to them and just be like, cause he gave me a little like card of what to say, which is just like, I want to know that you love me the same. Even though I'm not. And then
going to heaven.
And I didn't. And that's, you know,
you chickened out. You're
this is like really heavy, but my grandpa, has like some sort of Alzheimer's right now. I don't know. We didn't do the 23andMe, so we're not
just
sure.
Living. It's a very that's it seems like on par with your family. Like we're just not gonna find out.
Right.
We don't want to know.
Exactly. So he thought he was dying. He like had a heart attack or something, and he was unconscious in the hospital, and I guess just like screaming that the devil should take him and spare me. And that I didn't know what I was doing. And that, like, just take me.
Oh, no. I mean, that's... You have to know that that's not, like, a premonition. That's literally Alzheimer's, is that you see things and,
right,
like...
Right, but, I mean... Oh, no. And he wasn't really struggling with it back then. It's just... It's what he really thinks, and
yeah,
it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's because he's so bought into the, or
yeah,
he's so deep
just
in the religion.
It's like so heartbreaking because I'm, like, breaking their hearts. There's nothing about this that's, like... I don't know. Maybe like
they're like she's just going through a phase.
Yeah, it's nothing. Like they're not like it's just tradition. Like we go to church sometimes. They're like, this is the only reason we exist. And like
yeah, he's like yeah. I mean, I guess. Gosh, I didn't think about that. How hard it is when a family's like, because I feel like you know a lot of kids grow up and they're like, I need to go out and figure out my own thing, and I'm not really into the religion. And you just go, well, you know, they figure it out. But it's like, yeah, if you're a person who truly believes that, like, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. Then have to watch your kid like
yeah.
just be quote going to hell.
It's like heartbreaking.
It's really, really hard for everybody.
And of course we've never talked about it.
I get that guilt now that you're like, no, I wish I could.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you're like, I'm breaking their hearts, but also you have to be true to yourself. And that's a whole,
that it's a really strong, lesson to learn. And I think there's so much to be said cause there's nothing quite like it. Finding out who you are spiritually and how it's different than your family. And
yeah,
if you are in this life, like told you're not allowed to do that, it's just an extra important lesson for you.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's so interesting, especially given like you're such a like spiritually seeking person, mm-hmm. I feel like. And even like your podcast,
mm-hmm.
it's like you're constantly looking for what is.
Yeah.
What is the thing that moves me? What is the purpose? Yeah. What is.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's almost you wonder if growing up in a religion like that could push you to
I just remember when I was little, I would like every night I would lay in bed, this is before the hell spiral would start, but I would be like, I am me, and I'd be like, wait, I'm me,
who's me,
I'm me, and I would like go deeper and deeper and deeper until I was like buzzing, like I was meditating really deeply, but I didn't.
But
know.
You didn't know,
right.
When you were a little kid, you're still like existing.
I was just like so tripped out by it, and like sometimes I would see little Buddhist things, like around borders or whatever. Yeah, that's where I feel like go spend my time. And I'd be like,
oh God, we're really similar.
Really?
You I was like horny for bookstores.
Oh yeah. And I would
I was
go
like,
around
the bookstore.
I would go around and like find all the sex parts of books.
Oh my God.
Would you too?
Yes. I always made my Barbies fuck. It was gross.
I would just like walk down the aisles and be like, oh, this one looks like it's gonna have hardcore fucking in it.
Oh wow, so you'd go into like,
yeah, I'd see like, you know, like a calendar somewhere, because it was Kansas, so
yeah,
there'd be like a calendar that just had something like the Buddha said, and we read Siddhartha in school, and there was something in me that was
like
very interested in it, but also like, that's like
so far away,
that's
from
so far away, I don't even understand like the, you know, that. And
well, it's like almost, so when I think about, when you get to the root of, like when I think about Buddhist monks, they kind of live a similar life to the
absolutely
ministers or the
absolutely
friends or whatever.
And
they're,
I'm uncomfortable with it. I don't like it. And now in my life, like I cannot stomach boredom.
Oh wow.
I cannot stomach like people being quiet in a way, because that's just how I
calm
spend my life.
Yeah.
So I am like so
overstimulated
and averse to anything like that, and I definitely need to go like sit by myself in Joshua Tree for,
oh my God, you got to do a Vipassana.
Yeah,
I did the 10-day.
Yeah,
and it was for you go, I literally went crazy because, yeah, no, I'm not, it's, I like, I don't know if you feel the same, but I've realized in the course of like that meditation and just really trying to work on myself that I have attached some part of my identity to having emotions. So when I don't feel an extreme emotion, instead of just going, I'm calm, I go,
I'm dead.
This is wrong. Why am I not panicking, or why am I not screaming? Or
what's your normal like base state emotion? Mine's just like uncomfortable.
I mean, I definitely fluctuate. I think I am a person that if you were to strip away all circumstances, like everything that's happened to me, I think I'm a deeply happy person. I think I think when I was really young, before fucking, you know, life happened and chaos ensued, I was like a ball of sunshine type of just like happiness everywhere I go, resonating it. But now I sort of sit at this. I mean, if you turn on my music on my iPhone, it's all sad. I like lean into my sadness, but I think I got so comfortable in my depression trying to like explore it as a way to get rid of it that I inadvertently sort of made it, it became part of who I tell myself I am.
Right.
Like I'm, quote, the depressed person.
Right.
Which is an issue.
I think I do the same thing, but I can't remember who sang it about us on the trip. I don't know who, but they're like, you and Jessica Michelle are so like we would go outside and I didn't even notice we were doing this, but every dog that walks by, we're like, hi.
Oh my God.
I love you. And we're like, look at that. Oh my God.
It's like joy.
Yeah. I have. And then when I was little, I was like such a spaz and like so excited.
Yes. I think I had to like, I think my mom, and not even like my mom did some like super fucked up shit, but I think just in like trying to rein in your over energetic kid just made me like suppress my happiness.
Yeah.
Like just like, take it down a notch.
Wow. Wow.
Well, I think that's a lot of us, though, is that like how you're saying, I guess that's how I came to this, how you said you didn't realize you were meditating.
Right.
Well, it's like when you're a kid, there's so much to think about and you're discovering the world, but there's not all this extra responsibility and the anxiety that gets piled on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's easier to find a moment where you realize you're meditating. Whereas now we have to sit down and go, I'm going to meditate. Like you have to write it in your schedule.
Exactly. And now there's just so many thought constructs that, you know, you just have to like slide underneath all your ideas and everything. And it's so easy to do when you're little because you haven't been telling yourself the same story every day.
Yes, every day. You've woken up and been like, I'm failing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So if you can just, you know, this isn't about meditation, but I try to get up and before I can start telling myself a story, just like slip into something else for a little bit because... but
what do you mean?
Like slip into another state of consciousness that's not just retelling the
I'm not working hard enough.
Like the thoughts just start and you're
repeating
like, oh,
the
okay.
negative.
Yeah, my friend just did ayahuasca and she said that her thoughts, she could hear them talking without like she was separate from them and she could just hear them circling over and over and over and she couldn't make it stop. And she realized like that's just like there's just like
a pattern.
A record playing in her brain.
Oh my gosh. What a horrible realization, but also probably helpful.
So helpful.
For growth. Have you done ayahuasca? I want to do it so bad.
I have a group of friends about to do it. Do you want to get in on it?
Maybe. Maybe. Are you doing it?
No.
Are you too afraid?
Yeah,
You're not ready to go that deep in your mind?
And yeah, I'm... Yeah.
Like, I'm not ready to conquer that beast. Mm-mm. Have you done shrooms?
Yeah.
Ugh. They're my mushrooms. Favorite.
Yeah. My friends are doing LSD next weekend too, and they're like, do you want to come? And I just don't want to fuck what, like, a year ago, I was having daily panic attacks that were ruining my life.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
It was
so sorry.
So horrible. Thank you. I don't want to ever get myself
back into.
Yeah. I don't want to fuck with my mind too much.
Yeah. That's the thing is that it's like, I think I'll probably always stay at like maybe doing an annual mushroom thing. And I did mushrooms once, not in a calm environment. And I was like, oh, never again. This is like, I can only do mushrooms spiritually to like understand myself.
Of course. Yes.
Because fuck that. Fuck people. No. Are like, let's just take shrooms and go to the circus. And you're like, you're a fucking
let's
psycho.
Go to the fair.
Your life is a prison and I don't want to be a part of it.
No, I don't understand how people do that at all. My ex-boyfriend took mushrooms before I went to a party once, and it was Halloween, and I like found him and he was throwing his wig away, and I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, it's scaring me. And I was like, no, it's fine, just put it on. And I like put his wig back on him, and then I like caught him again like hiding, trying to hide his wig.
And he's like, it's trying to kill me.
And so finally we had to throw it away and just like whatever. But
and he ruined Halloween for everyone.
He ruined Halloween. And but I don't know if I've ever told you this, just really briefly. The first time I ever did mushrooms, we were peaking so hard. It was all my girlfriends just sitting around in a circle laughing so hard. Oh, and John Stamos called us on speakerphone.
In real life.
In
real
life.
The real life John Stamos.
Yes.
Because John Stamos has your number.
Well, he was with my friend who... He was with the same boyfriend who was throwing his wig in the trash can. And we kept texting my boyfriend, Stamos me, Stamos me, Stamos me. And finally, they just called.
That had to be insane. Because you're like, is this the voice of God? No wonder you're like, you love John Stamos.
Yes. And I have like 10 pages of notes that I kept from it. Because we like got to the bottom of John Stamos. We were like, his hair is imprisoning him. He needs to shave it. And then he will be free. He is a beta male. And beta males are better at sex than alpha males. We figured that out.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. Nobody fucks better than a sad boy, by the
Never.
Way.
Never.
Like, it's like, as much as I don't want the fucking hassle of dealing someone who's like an emotional whole thing, it's like, I'm an emotional mess. I don't need to be with an emotional mess. Oh my God. Just a fucking... Someone who thinks they have to prove something.
Oh, it is a real
deal.
They're
like, I'll never be strong enough for you. And like, yeah, fuck me. Like, you know, you're not good enough.
Alpha males are just like, ugh, like,
they're just like, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, no thanks. So we figured out beta males, like what he needed to do with his hair. We sent him all of this. He did not follow our advice, but
fuck you, Stamos.
Yeah. It's exciting now to not have to be so bored. And get to do more fun
and
things.
And get to do mushrooms and stuff.
Because I literally was in the grocery store line the other day, and there was a Reader's Digest, and I opened it and read a joke, and I turned to the person behind me and was like, this is a reprint of a joke from like 20 years ago.
Remember.
I would read Reader's Digest on loop.
Wait, my mom had the books.
Oh,
the
yeah,
Reader's Digest
books.
Collections?
Yes. I would
Me
be
too.
So bored, and we would just be sitting there, and the family would be eating forever and talking about such boring shit, and I would just digest Reader's Digest.
Oh, my God. The Reader's Digest. It's for people who are, like, bored and they need to consume. Yeah, no, my family, we weren't, like, so religious. We didn't have pop culture, but I was just, like, neglected. I was, like, I remember watching Matilda and being like, I resonate with you so much, because she's just reading everything in sight and just
yes.
being like, more, more.
Yes.
I need more, like, just to consume, like.
Yes. I would read a book a day.
Literature. Yes. I loved reading. What happened?
I don't know. Now I'm just, like, scared to be with myself.
No. It's, yeah, if I'm alone too long, it's like, I need the peace.
Mm-hmm.
But I go like, what am I doing? I should be out. I should be working harder. Yeah.
I'm really trying to chill out because I need, like, last night I was just like, okay, I'm literally partying a lot.
It's hard, especially in LA when you have like friends. There's the FOMO and just,
I know,
especially being in entertainment, it almost feels like I should be out. I should be having fun with people who will remember we had fun, and then like mm-hmm. maybe they'll want to work with me later.
And then cast me on the big movie.
Yeah, put me in your film.
Hey, remember that girl that was drunk at the party? She should be in our movie.
Yeah. Remember when I threw up on Steven Spielberg? Anyways, full circle. He did not cast me in this movie. I'm very sorry, Mr. Spielberg.
Did you really do that?
No.
Oh,
unless he's not listening. And then, yes, I'm kidding. I wish. God. I just, like, I want to briefly date someone who is, like, way too powerful for me, but it's also, like, old and people are disgusted by it. Oh, just to have that as part of my...
As part of your story.
As part of my story. Just to have, like, this whirlwind romance with a man who's, like, disgusting, but I would actually be in love with. And then be like, it didn't work out between me and Steven. Me and Mr. Spielberg.
I feel like I used to do stuff for the story all the time. And then at, like, 24, I was like, and I'm done with that. And like, now, and now I've just, like, never...
I'm averse to the story now.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, I want love, but, like, I don't need a whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't need a love story.
No.
Just, like, let's get along. Can you make me come, and can we complain about the same people?
Do you have mac and cheese?
Yes. Feed me and, like, tell me I'm pretty every once in a while and make me come.
Yeah. Amen.
Ah, the dream. Wait, so, okay.
Wow, I really took us off the subject.
It doesn't matter. That's the whole podcast. Chef. Okay. No. Now I am hungry.
I'm so hungry. Are we eating after this?
We are definitely eating after this. Were there food restrictions in your religion, by the way? That's such a weird... I wouldn't think there would be.
No.
But. Also, I don't know who I was talking to about Christianity the other day. A little off topic, but when you take a step back, because we were like raised in Christian religions, if you explained how church works to a person who had no idea about Christianity... We eat the body of our God.
Yeah.
That's so fucking creepy.
It's weird.
And like drink his blood as like a tribute.
It's a little strange.
Yeah.
It's so, it's such a downer.
And then people be like, oh, it's weird how like Muslims don't eat pork. And it's like, we drink blood.
Yeah. Right.
Like we're drinking blood. So when did you go to college in Kansas?
Yeah.
Okay. So were you still like 1 foot in, 1 foot out pretending to be religious?
Right.
When did you like really break free?
Oh, I would say that the, you know, the college, high school, I was, you know, it was just
still keeping up the facade.
It was like, no, I wasn't. They knew that I wasn't, but it was like, we couldn't talk about it. And I kept waiting for myself to change. Like I kept
like you thought, okay, one day I'm going to wake up and just be like, I'm happy with this.
Yeah. Surely like I'll just realize that something that everybody I love fully is on board with will make sense to me.
I'll see the light.
Yeah, exactly. So I kept waiting for that to happen. Meanwhile, I was, you know, I was a pretty naughty person. and I went to college and I was pretty crazy. Did like a Playboy college girl.
Did you do the college Playboy? Like you were a bikini for Playboy, like the top 10 or whatever?
I was topless.
Oh my God, look at you.
And I think.
Did they print you?
They did, but I used a different name.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. But...
like, good for you. Keep your anonymity.
I can't believe I had that foresight back then. And I didn't show my vagina.
It was just titties.
It was just some tats. Which also, my parents got me fake boobs.
Yeah, that's... I was going to say, like, okay, where'd the fake boobs come from? Did somebody... But like, your parents...
My parents were just... They're, like, super... They're, like... always running marathons and shit and super into health and whatever. And
yeah,
I was chubby and then I got too skinny and,
you got too skinny. Was it eating disorder or just, it's rough.
Well, and that's another weird facet of it. Like I was anorexic, which was such a problem and we would always talk about it, but it wasn't really a problem. Then it became bulimia and then it was a real problem.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Nobody could say the word. Ever. Like, that's a
Nobody
word in my family. No one will say. They'll be like, you were doing the thing or, you know, blah, 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 blah. Where it was like, when it was anorexia, that's a very spoken about word and whatever.
Yeah.
And they had to send me to treatment in Malibu when I graduated college. And
then you're like, I love LA.
I was like, I love it here. They would come out every weekend for like family therapy. They're so sweet.
Every weekend.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Because they're like, we want to learn how to like help you, whatever. And like, we could not say it.
That's so bizarre.
And my therapist once said it, and I started bawling and was, like, about to throw up. Not in a bulimic way. Just
yeah,
like
but you're just, like, because you're, like, overwhelmed by emotions.
Right.
Because, like, we don't say it.
And then 5 years later, I'm talking to my dad on the phone, and he's, like, because I think your mom, you know, is still struggling with the bulimic stuff. And I was, like, what?
Like, he said it? Well, your mom's bulimic?
Exactly.
And you're, was did you know that?
No.
Or did you, and that was, like, the first
I was
time
like,
you were,
we
like...
went to family therapy for so long.
That's so interesting that, like, only because, like, your lack of consuming so much media and you're still having body dysmorphia.
Oh, my
gosh. It's such a fascinating...
My mother's body is ridiculous. And it was like she would run 12 miles a day. It was so important to her to have the perfect body. But then she would, like, cover it.
Yeah. Because it's like
so weird
to me. Yeah, well, that's always what I think is like, why have it if you're not going to flaunt it? Like, I don't have any plastic surgery, but 1,000% if I had fake tits, I would never not have a shirt that showed my cleavage. It would be tits all the time. I'd be in bikinis and just be like, what? Look at my tits. They're great.
I bought them. Yeah.
I paid for them and they deserve to be seen.
Yeah.
I earned these. Yeah, with exactly. Cash.
There was like a lot of body, you know, like weirdness in my house. My parents, like I said, they run marathons. They were super into working out and they were like, you have to gain weight. And I had no boobs, none.
You were
and
like,
so I was like, if you get me fake boobs, I'll gain weight because then I'll feel curvy. And the fucking dumbest part about this whole thing is that it worked.
That they were like, oh, she has a point.
And then I got fake boobs and I was beautiful. Like, okay, I'm a curvy
person. Did you gain a little bit of weight back? So you like.
It like worked. It was the weirdest plan that worked.
That's so fascinating.
I know.
That you bulimicked your way into fake tits.
Yeah.
You guilted your family.
Yeah.
I was but like, we want to help you.
Yeah. They're pretty on board. Back at the time, like, it was my dad's friend.
There was a plastic surgeon?
Yeah. It was like the early
2000s. Is he still alive?
Yeah. He's such a genius.
If you're listening, sir, please.
Dr. Peters,
please give me just matching tits. They don't have to be big. I just want them to be the same size.
Stacey Peters. So looking back on it, I can see that it's a very dysfunctional, odd.
And that's just so fascinating because so many people blame women's body issues on the media.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys were not consuming. No. But it's also like, as much as I'm like all about body positivity. I like the body positive movement I love and I also hate because there's a part of me that like, no matter how much I go, I want other people to be body positive, I still hate my body. And then I see people who are like, fuck you, I love my body. And I'm like, well, fuck you. I don't love my body. You don't get to love your body either.
Right.
No, why are you so confident?
The body hatred movement?
Yeah, it's like, if I have to feel ashamed, so do you. But what's just such a weird thing, because it is like, yes, media feeds us shit, but it's also, there's a whole biological component to like, men want to see big fucking titties. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the media isn't the reason a man isn't into my one small boob. Like, it's not like Cosmo made you hate me. It's the magazine's fault that you don't like my butt that looks like it belongs on a 90-year-old man.
Jessica, you have the most adorable, perfect body. That makes me really sad, but you are hilarious.
I have a fun body. It's like an interesting. I feel like my body's like a Dolly painting. Someone today described me, and they're specifically talking about my eyebrows, but they described me as, it was Nicole Amy Schreiber. I'm saying someone as if it's like elusive. Was it Steven Spielberg? We don't know. She described me as avant-garde sexy. And honestly, ooh. I loved it. I was because I've always been. No, I'm just talking about myself. Who am I? Pete Holmes. Oops. I've always said that like guys are into me. I feel like when a guy's into me, they're like, I am not sure why I'm into you. Not even in a negative way.
No,
they just can't pinpoint. They're like, something about you, but it's not a thing that I can go, oh yeah, the fucking butt.
Well, you're not in like a category.
Yeah. I'm a creep.
You're not, you know. I don't think I really am either.
Yeah, it's just like, you're just this unique, like, beautiful. I feel like some people think the word unique is offensive. Or like, no. I guess because it could be like, you're very unique.
Dot, dot, dot. If there's a pause before it, it's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. But if it's just said, it's like, oh, I'm just one of a kind.
Yeah.
Wait, a couple more religious questions. Okay, so you got out around college. When did you kind of like hit the ground running and do like a full 180, like, I'm going to be
so wild
like
in
nude and drink and
I
consume
was out of
media.
Control. Out of control. Watching, like reading Us Weekly every day, watching TV. I could not believe we had a TV. I was like, because like
a TV.
I couldn't believe it.
Because now, yeah, I feel like you're so into pop culture now.
Yeah.
It's like such a.
Going to like Wet Seal and buying shorts.
Wet
and being like,
Seal.
I'm a legend. And just blackout drunk. Never had drank before, really.
So you just went from zero to
no idea how. Yeah. Would like smoke a joint, but smoke the whole thing because I didn't know.
Because you didn't understand. I was the same way in college. Yeah. I just was always in a blackout.
A complete blackout. My boyfriend was once driving home from work and was like, oh man, there's a girl sleeping under the gas station nozzle.
And it was you?
That's my girlfriend. So,
oh my God, I love you.
And my parents were just like at a loss.
And they're like, well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. So you guys just don't talk about it now, but it's kind of.
Yeah, I wish that there was something to say. I actually had an Uber driver drive me home this morning.
Hey.
From our.
Because she's an animal.
We're Eskimo sisters.
Oh my God, we are Eskimo sisters. I call it, what do I call it? I call it Tether Sisters because we've swung on the same pole.
I love it.
Yeah.
We're playing like tetherball?
Like tetherball, yeah.
Oh, I love it. We're Tether Sisters.
We're Tether Sisters. We're tethered together forever.
So I was coming home from that dick.
You guys, tune into the Patreon. I'm just kidding. and I'll release nude photos.
And I'm coming home and I had this really interesting Uber driver. And he looked like he was going to be one way. He looked way too cool for school.
But he's an Uber driver, so it's like...
Right.
He's getting
But he was
there,
like 19, and he looked like he like was probably a super cool rapper like in downtown.
Oh my God, amazing.
And, like something. And then
lives
he
in
was,
a loft.
And then he was just like, this is a beautiful day. It almost brings tears to my eyes. I was like, hello, what? And
what?
Then he just randomly was like talking about how he was raised super Catholic. And he was like, it's such a bummer to not be able to talk to your mom about all these things that happen in your life. Because they just have something on loop and they're not listening to you and they're not open.
And they just like, that's a sin.
And they just repeat the same thing and they're closed. And I was like, yeah, it is painful. Yeah. It sucks.
It does. But I also think, I mean, it just does suck. But I think it's an important part of growth, getting to a point where you can realize, even though you can't connect. Like, it took me a long time to go, oh, yeah, these people are... Just to like close-minded, it's not their fault. You know what I mean?
Completely.
Is going like because my instinct is like, fuck you. Like, why are you not understanding me? You're wrong. And it's like, no, they're on a different journey. And I don't. I mean, not to be all spiritual hippie, but you don't care.
Yeah, no, please give it to me.
Well, it's just like the people who
I'm wet for it.
Are like sort of like close-minded to the point of being ignorant, like so religious to the, like, you know, AIDS exists because gay people are sinning,
right,
that
kind, right.
Or like, or just whatever level. I got to a point where I realized, like, their soul isn't at a point in their journey where they're ready to...
They're learning something else.
Yeah, they have a different lesson. And, yeah, like, they're not ready for the information you're receiving. When you're, yeah, going, what does the universe mean? And, like, seeking, like, who you are and asking all these questions. That person is on a journey that is not at that point yet.
Yeah, they maybe are on a human journey of, like, relationships. And, you know, like, I could be in my bed worried about what infinity is. And
yeah, every night.
They are... having a really good relationship with their child. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and like learning. That's their lesson to learn is, exactly, like how to love one other person or like, right, let love in.
Yeah.
God, last time I did shrooms, I literally was on a loop. Not a loop, but like my friend was like, it's the most enlightening thing, but you were literally just sitting there trying to verbally explain infinity. But I was like, I was like channeling this. I don't know if you do. I don't know how many times you've done them, but I get this thing where I feel like I'm connected to something.
I don't know if it's like a universal,
but I was just like, I don't know. I can't even explain it.
No, I remember you telling me that you were in Joshua Tree, right?
Yeah.
Because remember I posted that Elmo thing on your wall?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We should go to the desert.
We can go this weekend.
Ooh, maybe. Am I in town this weekend? I'm like raising my eyebrows. That's good for a podcast. My exquisitely drawn in eyebrows that I did not wash off my face.
Okay,
night.
Yeah. Why does your makeup look so good?
Oh, my roommate, Nikki Martinez, you guys, at Nikki_Martinez_MUA.
I don't know.
She's a makeup artist and she wanted to do a tutorial on just basic skin. And then she like had added the eyes just for fun. But I was like, I will always be your canvas. So she did my makeup and true to who I am, I kept it on all night because I was like, I could run into the love of my life tomorrow morning.
Duh.
Or just anyone, and they should be like, she's so hot. Her, yeah, eyebrows are so avant-garde.
You look amazing.
I'm trying to learn how to do makeup. I don't want to
teach you.
Yeah, I like here's my thing is that I worry if I get too into makeup, and maybe this is just crazy, because I like my natural face. I don't think I'm hot, but I'm like, I'm okay with who I am, and I'm like, I have friends that like won't leave the house without makeup.
You do?
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know, or just like people I know.
Right.
And I don't ever want to be like, oh, I can't go out without my face.
Right. I don't wear makeup most days, but.
But then when you put it on, it just gives you a little.
It's just
fun.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's like getting girly.
Yeah.
Which I like to do sometimes. And sometimes I think I want to wear suits and, yeah, be, yeah, masculine.
Yeah.
I'm a human yin yang. Would you ever, because you're a writer, would you ever consider writing like a treatment or a feature based on the religion, or you're like, it just too deep and your family would be too upset?
I don't want to upset them. I even talking about it right now, like,
am I devastating you?
No, it's good. Like, it's just, honesty has so much guilt attached to it for me, you know? Like,
yeah.
Who I really am. Like, I just left getting like some dick. Like, I don't know. It's true. And I want to be truthful, but I'm like, oh, I'm a mess. But,
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're like my sins.
Mm-hmm. But, I actually was going to write a TV show about it, and then Kimmy Schmidt came out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it was.
And it's too similar. It's too like similar, yeah. The mole people.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you said that, because it just reiterates how like we have so many similarities. That show came out and someone was like, I feel like you're like Kimmy Schmidt, but without the bunker. For some reason, you just turned out like you're completely out of touch with.
Totally.
With society. I date the same guy with like the mom he called every day.
Is this the same guy who helped you move my desk?
No. Kay. Wait. I think it was Danny that helped me move your desk. You guys, whatever I said about him before was a lie. He was a very nice man. But Danny Jollis, he's great. See him on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on the CW. Right. Fuck, what was I saying? Oh, he said dating me because he was really into movies. He liked going to concerts. He was very in touch with like just the music culture, like what the new hot bands are. He always knew what movies were coming out.
Oh, I'm like that too. I love Cardi B. I'm just kidding.
Cardi B. He said dating me was like dating someone from a foreign country or another planet.
Yeah.
Because I never knew.
I know nothing.
Any references.
Mm-mm. We're just like dropped here. I don't know where to begin to learn. So I've just begun to avoid all information.
Because
it's overwhelming.
Yeah. And there's so much bullshit being constantly thrown at you.
Yeah. I've decided to just completely shut down.
I mean, I do that too. That's what I worry about that I like, I know I need to take more alone time to recharge, mm-hmm. but when I'm alone, I feel like am I shutting down? Am I shutting people out? Am I doing something unhealthy by being alone?
Right.
Like, is this good for me or am I closing myself off?
Yeah. Agreed.
But I think some of the best, this sounds so narcissistic.
Some of the best times of my life are
with
myself.
Me. No, yeah. Some of the like most like breakthrough moments as far as like a wisdom or just a piece of information that really came to me and I understood it about life. And it wasn't necessarily anything that hadn't been said to me, but it came in moments where I was alone. Yeah. Where like, I mean, you can tell someone forever, like, you want to find love, you got to learn to love yourself. But until they have a moment where they're like, oh,
I get it.
Like it has to just. And you can't force it. It just hits you when it hits you, or maybe it doesn't hit you this lifetime. But
yeah, it's funny. That's a lesson I'm really trying to learn, like, today.
Yes.
From yesterday, I was like, I have to spend more time alone and just, like, go deeper.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, we all have trauma from our childhood.
Everybody does.
Everybody does. We all have stuff that we feel really dirty and guilty about. Not even, I don't mean that in a sexual way, just it could be, but.
But also that, yeah.
And we don't have to be scared of it anymore because it's not real. And everything we want is on the other side of it.
Yes, you have to push through your fear. That's where love is.
That's what love is.
I think we were saying that drunk on the corner in New York.
Oh, God, really?
And maybe I was. And you were like, I miss Hannigan.
I was like, let's all girls.
All right, we're almost done. Let me just, like, two more questions.
Sure.
No. Okay, so is there anything that, like, someone who's, like, a friend or a partner to someone who has a background like yours, like, if you had a boyfriend or a friend, like,
yes.
How they can be supportive because you still
gosh,
have family
I'm so
in
glad
it?
Glad you asked that. Yeah. I think even just being raised Catholic.
Yeah.
There's a lot, like, if you're not raised like it, it's so easy to be like, just stop. Don't be guilty. Blah, 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 blah.
It's like, just don't.
Just don't.
You just don't have the feelings you feel.
Right. And it is, like, wired into you so deeply.
Yeah.
And it's a part of who you were, and it's a part of who you are, and it's a part of who you will always be.
Yeah.
So have patience with it. And I've had really nice boyfriends who I would, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and be like, I am so scared. Like, I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to whatever. And
I remember.
Oh my God, my Megan.
I know, my boyfriend was so sweet. The one who had to throw his wig away.
sweet wig Stamos.
Found like a 24 hour diner near us, and we would like go at 3 a.m. all the time and have
tomato soup. When you'd wake up.
Yep. And we were just like,
this is so cute.
It was really cute. So yeah, I don't like it when a partner or a friend is like, don't worry about it. Like, or you'll say it and somebody will be like, you're not going to hell.
I'm oh, like, man.
I know rationally that you're right, but.
I mean, it's the same with so many psychological issues when they're that deep. Like,
yes.
I do that with abandonment. Like, yeah. I know rationally when the guy I'm dating, I'm not dating a guy, but like the theoretical guy I'm dating takes out the trash. He's not leaving me forever. But like the pan, I can't stop that. Like,
yeah. And it's your, and it, there's like lessons to be learned in it for you. So just being like, stop doing it isn't the answer.
You're like, that's not. You know how that works.
It's like, oh, okay, you, everything that's happened to you is for a reason. The universe is trying to learn something about itself. So
I love that.
Stick with it.
The universe is, we're all being taught things by the universe.
Mm-hmm. And the universe is being taught about itself.
Yeah, we're all unlocking things that live deep inside of us.
The universe like needs to, it's infinite. It wants to infinitely grow, and that's through you.
Oh, I love that. I feel like that's a great note to close on.
Oh.
Where can people find you?
They can find me crying in my bed.
Oh, it's so beautiful. We're here right now.
They can find me at Megan Granger on Instagram and Facebook and on Superficial Magic. I would love it if you guys listen to the podcast and say hi there.
Yes, go over there. It's a great podcast. If you loved this chat, it's just like this times 1,000. I feel like just so much deepness.
You are so awesome because you have like listened to it and I love you for it. And
no, I love your podcast. Okay, if anyone else who has a podcast who I've been like, great podcast, is listening, I'm sorry, but the truth is I listen to like 3 podcasts regularly. Not even regularly. I don't listen to any podcast regularly. But when I go, I'm going to listen to a podcast, I turn on yours. And then I sometimes turn on Ari Shaffir's, and then or I'll do 365 Days of Astronomy or a TED Talk. But
God, that means a lot to me.
No, it's just like I love it. I love your insight and your brain and your. I don't know if positivity is the right word, but it's just like your hopeful outlook, where it's like you view everything as like being able to come back and go like, this is a lesson, or like,
yeah,
this thing might suck, but it's all. For something bigger.
Exactly.
You guys go listen. Go follow Megan.
I just love you. You're such a great interviewer, and I can't wait to listen to all your other podcasts.
I love you. You're lying, and it's fine.
No, I'm not. I've listened. Ask me
I'm
at
just
lunch.
Kidding.
I'm so excited about lunch. I'm like, ask me at lunch because we're eating it now.
Oh my God, we're going out. Yeah, we're staying in and taking care of ourselves after lunch. We're going something very popular with a lot of people. All right. Bye, idiots.
Bye.